Have you ever driven across town to save $7 on a $25 pen, but wouldn't do the same to save $7 on a $455 suit? Or found yourself unable to resist a buy one, get one free offer even when you didn't need two items? These aren't random quirks. They're predictable patterns of irrationality that shape our decisions every day. Following a devastating accident where 70% of my body suffered third-degree burns, I gained an outsider perspective that made me question human behaviors I'd previously taken for granted. This tragedy sparked my journey into behavioral economics, the study of how we consistently make predictable errors in judgment that shape our decisions as consumers, business people, and policymakers. What I discovered was both humbling and enlightening. Our irrationality isn't random. It's systematic, repeatable, and, most importantly, predictable. We rarely evaluate things in absolute terms. Instead, we judge options by comparing them to alternatives, a principle that marketers exploit brilliantly. Consider The Economist's peculiar subscription offer. An internet-only subscription for $59, a print-only for $125, and a print and internet combination also for $125. When I tested this on MIT students, 84% chose the combination package. But when I removed the useless print-only decoy, only 32% chose the combination package. Nothing rational had changed, yet preferences dramatically shifted. This same principle appears everywhere in our lives. Williams-Sonoma boosted sales of their $275 bread maker by introducing a more expensive model that made the original seem like a bargain. The relativity trap extends beyond consumer choices to our very happiness. We constantly compare our salaries and achievements to others, which explains why publishing executive compensation led to skyrocketing CEO salaries. Everyone suddenly felt underpaid compared to their peers. To fight this tendency, we must consciously choose smaller circles that boost our relative happiness rather than comparing ourselves to those who have more. Salvador Assayle transformed worthless black pearls into coveted luxuries through strategic marketing at Harry Winston and in glossy magazines. This illustrates how our brains anchor to initial prices, similar to Conrad Lorenz's goslings imprinting on the first moving object they see. Experiments show that arbitrary numbers like social security digits significantly influence what people will pay for products. This arbitrary coherence suggests many life choices stem from first impressions that have shaped our subsequent decisions. People moving between cities often remain anchored to previous housing prices, maintaining spending habits even in cheaper areas. Only by questioning our habits can we break free from these anchors. The word free short-circuits rational decision-making. When we offered Lindt truffles for 15 cents and Hershey's Kisses for 1 cent, 73% chose the superior truffle. But when both prices dropped by 1 cent, making the Kiss free and the truffle 14 cents, 69% chose the free Kiss, despite worse value. This happens because free eliminates the fear of loss that accompanies most transactions. The zero price effect creates an emotional surge overriding rational calculation. Amazon's free shipping boosted sales everywhere except France, where a nominal fee failed until changed to free. We consistently overvalue free checking accounts, mortgages without closing costs, and bundled gifts, often paying more long term. Free even warps our perception of time, making us wait in long lines for samples or complete tedious forms for tiny rebates. We live simultaneously in two different worlds, one governed by social norms and another by market norms. Social norms involve friendly requests without immediate payback, while market norms involve precise exchanges, wages, prices, and payments. Our experiments showed people work harder when asked as a favor, social norm, than when paid small amounts. Gifts maintain social interactions, but mentioning money shifted everything to market norms. When social and market norms collide, social norms typically vanish, and they're extremely difficult to restore. An Israeli daycare center demonstrated this by imposing fines for late pickups. Parents began treating lateness as a purchasable service, and late pickups increased. When the fine was removed, parents continued coming late, now even more frequently. Once the social norm was replaced by a market norm, the relationship couldn't be restored. Why do people break promises or abandon diets when tempted? This happens because of the hot-cold empathy gap, our inability to predict behavior when emotions intensify. In a Berkeley study, students answered questions about sexual preferences, immoral behaviors, and safe sex practices while calm, then later while aroused. The results were striking. When aroused, they predicted 72% higher desire for unusual sexual activities, 136% increased willingness for immoral behaviors, and were 25% more likely to skip condom use. Like Jekyll and Hyde, these students couldn't foresee how arousal would override rational judgment. This has significant implications for decision-making. Rather than just say no approaches, we should ensure condoms are accessible, teach teenagers to avoid temptation entirely, and implement safeguards for teen drivers. Perhaps we're not unified beings, but collections of multiple selves. While our rational self can't fully understand our emotional self, recognizing our vulnerability to emotional states can lead to better decisions. By 2006, American savings rates hit -1%, while consumer debt spread across 6 credit cards per family. Despite our promises to save, diet, and stay healthy, we regularly surrender to immediate gratification. In an MIT experiment testing deadline approaches, students with instructor-imposed deadlines performed best. Those with complete flexibility scored worst, and self-imposed deadline setters landed in between. This reveals the value of pre-commitment mechanisms, tools that let us commit in advance to specific actions. While self-imposed constraints help overcome procrastination, external enforcement works better. Such mechanisms could transform preventative health care, where procrastination causes missed checkups despite clear long-term benefits. For spending control, a self-control credit card could allow users to set spending limits by category, store, and time frame, with self-selected penalties like card rejection or automatic charitable donations. By acknowledging our weaknesses, we can design systems to overcome them. Wine tastes better when we think it's expensive. Pain relievers work faster in sophisticated packaging. Our expectations don't just inform us, they reshape our sensory experiences. In our MIT experiment, participants enjoyed vinegar-infused beer when they learned about the ingredient after tasting, while those informed beforehand developed negative perceptions. This principle extends beyond beverages. Culinary experiences improve with elaborate descriptions and proper presentation, despite blind tests showing factors like glass shape make no difference. Brain scans revealed that while Coke and Pepsi activated pleasure centers similarly in blind tests, knowing they were drinking Coke engaged additional memory-related regions. The brand itself created pleasure. Expectations also power stereotypes and fuel conflicts. People from opposing sides reading identical history books reach different conclusions about who started conflicts or who should compromise. There's hope, though. We might resolve conflicts by presenting perspectives without revealing which side took which actions, or by accepting neutral third parties to establish rules.